Gloria calling from Judge Rowland's chambers. We're ready to call your case, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. C-3643, Simon Bernstein, Irrevocable Insurance versus Heritage Union.
Good morning, Your Honor. Adam Simon on behalf of the plaintiff, Simon Bernstein, Irrevocable Insurance Trust, dated 6/21/95, and Ted Bernstein as trustee and individually.
Alex Marks on behalf of defendant Heritage, now known as Jackson National Life Insurance.
Mr. Bernstein, you're on the phone with us, right?
Elliot Bernstein on behalf of myself.
Okay. And can you hear what's happening here?
Yeah, and if you could do me a favor when you address questions to people so I don't interrupt like last time, just let me know if it's addressed to me personally.
I will let you know that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so the case is before a different judge, okay? Her name's Amy St. Eve. Okay, and my name's Mary Rowland, so I'm a magistrate judge in the building, and Judge St. Eve has sent the case down here to see if there's any possibility of settlement. Okay? Mr. Bernstein?
I don't think we're there yet because, A, I think she ordered that everybody send the documents, and I don't have all the documents, which just seems a continuous problem. But I was waiting for a copy of the policy and stuff like that so I could have a informed consent to any kind of settlement. And the other problem is I certified a copy to everybody that I countered as defendants and from Adam Simon and other family members of mine, etc. They all received it. But they're not accepting the service, so I'm going to have to formally serve them with a marshal showing up. And so, you know.
You mean of your, Mr. Bernstein, you mean you're serving them with a counter complaint or what?
Yeah,
what are you
serving
on them?
Yeah, I filed an answer and count or cross claim, whatever you call it. And I added additional third party defendants, Adam Simon being one of them. And my brother Ted, who he represents, I guess, and they obviously need me to serve them with a marshal instead of accepting the complaints they got and doing the little form thing I sent them. So they want to delay this procedure.
Hold on a minute.
Okay.
Please.
Yeah, Your Honor, he did serve pretty much his entire family. He served me. With a waiver of service of summons that gave us 60 days from September 23rd, I believe. So we're nowhere close to the time of having to respond.
All right. So, you know, they have 60 days to either submit that waiver of summons or
I totally get it, but it's just a little premature to settle without all the people at the party.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to let that stop us because they're already in the case anyway because they're plaintiffs.
No, they're not.
One of them is a lawyer who's representing the plaintiffs. So if we could resolve the underlying dispute, it would take care of any counterclaim, right?
No, and I don't think everybody is a plaintiff.
Mr. Simon, can you shed some light on this for me?
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is Mr. Bernstein or Elliot Bernstein's counterclaims go well beyond the scope of what's at issue in this case, which is a single life insurance policy and the proceeds of that policy that have already been deposited with the court. There is litigation in Florida that Mr. Bernstein is very actively involved in. In fact, he's got an emergency petition pending at the moment asking the court to treat him as if he were a disabled child. That's in writing, filed with the court. And he's trying to litigate the estate matters up here also.
Is the Florida case a state court matter?
The Florida case is a state court matter regarding the estate of both of his parents.
Okay, and let me ask this. This case is about the insurance policy. If the so I assume there's diversity or something.
There's diversity in the amount and controversy.
Okay.
Jurisdiction.
Somebody removed it, but okay.
Right.
If we were to resolve this dispute, the original case that was filed here, which involves only the one insurance policy, would Mr. Elliott, Bernstein's counterclaims, would they properly be in federal court? Are they pendent state claims? What are they?
Very difficult for their fraud claims. I don't see how they're... I guess they could be in federal court theoretically if they were pled correctly,
mm-hmm.
Under diversity.
Because there's diversity.
But they should be severed from the case. They should be stricken for not being pled correctly. There's oodles of problems with the counterclaim.
Yeah. So, Mr. Bernstein, do you hear what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but it's not going to change anything.
Well, it might. I mean, if we can resolve this case.
Well, I don't think we can till we address the counter-complaint, the cross-claim, and get all the parties to the table. And I don't even have a policy to make a settlement on. Meaning I've been given no documents to make
a... Hold on, I got a lawyer here who wants to address that. So the lawyer for the insurance company would like to jump in here.
Yes, just a couple points, Your Honor. One, we have already tendered all the proceeds to the registry of the court, and at some point we're going to be asking to be dismissed from the case because we've essentially satisfied our duty as an interplea.
Yeah. So do you understand that, Mr. Bernstein? They've deposited the full amount of the insurance policy into the court's bank account.
The only things we have left to do, which I'm addressing, I just want to bring everyone up to speed, and this will assist Mr. Bernstein as well. As part of our 26A disclosures that we've made this week, I'm going to be producing several hundred, I don't know the count, it's a large stack, maybe 1,000 pages of our clients' records, which is what I think what Mr. Bernstein's getting at, saying that I don't want to go to a settlement conference until I have all the documents. I'm going to be producing them.
Beautiful.
And I'll mail them to him. That's the first issue.
So you're going to serve him he's pro se, so you'll serve him as well.
I'll serve him personally at his
counsel.
Address.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other thing that Jackson is doing as part of an interpleader is you need to bring all the parties to the table that may theoretically have an interest in the policy because you don't want someone left out. The records in this case are a little unclear, which led to the interpleader action. There's three separate banks that are listed in the policy records at various times as either being a beneficiary or a contingent beneficiary, and sometimes the banks were listed as trustee of a trust. Sometimes the banks were just listed by name. I don't think they have any interest in this policy, but out of an abundance of caution, because this one's a little goofy, we named three banks as parties. Two of the banks, PNC Bank and Bank of America, have been served but have not yet filed any sort of responsive pleading. I'm in touch with Bank of America because it's one of our firm's clients, and they're still trying to look into the matter to see if they have any interest. But as I said, I don't think they played any role other than their trustee. There was a third bank we named First Arlington National Bank. After conducting further discovery, because we couldn't find that entity, but they were listed, turns out that bank was actually, I think, should have been First American National Bank, which was in Arlington Heights. After like four separate mergers, they then became J.P. Morgan Chase. So I have a motion up this afternoon in front of Judge St. Eve at 1:00, substituting J.P. Morgan Chase in for First American or First Arlington as a interpleader defendant. They're in the same boat. They're also a firm client of ours. I've talked to them. They're looking into it. I don't think they have any interest either, but they were listed, and so I wanted to put them on notice. So I think the only things we have left to do to satisfy our duties as an interpleader is get J.P. Morgan served and officially in. Then it's up to the banks whether they want to step in. My guess is they probably won't because I don't think they have any interest. I'm then going to be serving the documents this week on all the parties, and then sometime thereafter I'm going to go in front of Judge St. Eve, and I don't think we have any other role to play here.
Okay. All right. So here's what I'm going to do.
One last thing.
Hold on.
Okay.
Mr. Simon wants to chime in.
Right. Mm-hmm. I just want to make it clear that on behalf of plaintiff, we did tender Rule 26A pleading and a set of documents, and we've received nothing back from Mr. Bernstein regarding his claims.
Okay. So, you know, Mr. Bernstein, the federal rules apply to you too, right? And so you have...
I don't have anything.
Okay, you don't have any discovery. You don't have any documents about any of the allegations that you're making. Because if you do, you owe that to the people you're suing. Okay?
Okay.
So here's what I'm going to do, Mr. Bernstein. I am going to put this over while plaintiffs / counter defendants respond in whatever way they feel is appropriate to your counterclaims. Okay?
Okay, that's great.
Whether they answer, whether they file motions to dismiss, motions to sever, whatever they want to do. And do you want to say something, Mr.
Yeah, just going back to the Rule 26 disclosures, he could at least file a pleading saying he doesn't have anything. He needs to respond and provide disclosure because he says he's making a claim to the proceeds, so we either need to know he's got something to back that up or he has nothing. So he really should respond to Rule 26.
Well, did Saney set some kind of schedule on that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, Mr. Bernstein, so I'm not going to try to set a settlement conference today because I think that probably Judge Saney has to do something with respect to the counterclaims before we can have any kind of coherent conversation about the proceeds, you know, of this insurance policy. And it sounds like some other interpleaders, they either have to get in or not get in. So we do have to know who's at the table, okay?
Okay, and can I interject something?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'd like you to take judicial notice of the fact that in that estate case in Florida, the judge, Martin Collin, had enough information that fraud had occurred in my father's estate to allege that he had could read the attorneys and my brother for their Miranda warnings. And he was referring to the fact that documents were forged and fraudulent in my father's estate, that he now has a notary public who admitted and acknowledged fraud and forgery to state authorities. And there is other fraud going on in the estate, which I allege is related to this fraud here. And I think you should contact Judge Martin Collin regarding the current frauds going on in that case, because I think we might have, you know, incidents of that going on here.
Okay. So here, first of all, it would not be proper for me to contact any state court judge in Florida about a pending matter there, okay? That whatever is happening in that case is parallel to this case, but it's not something I'm going to be involved in any way.
Okay.
I do want to remind you that if there are dates, first of all, I want to just say, Mr. Bernstein, you would be very well served to be represented by counsel.
I can't get counsel because of my Sixth Amendment rights are being violated in counsel, and I've had the problem, and I'm before a United States District Court in New York over it in a RICO, and, you know, it comes from very serious ethics violations from the highest levels of the New York and Florida courts. And so that case is already before Judge Shinlin and ongoing. And, you know, so I've got issues with getting counsel to help me. So it seems to be in all 17 cases.
Short of having counsel, Mr. Bernstein, yeah. Short of having counsel, okay. I do want to remind you, because I have a lot of pro se people in here, okay? You're by no means are you unique in that regard.
That's so.
But you have to comply with the rules, okay? So if Judge St. Eve has told you that you have to make disclosures under Rule 26 by a certain date, and you have not provided those, that will hurt your case down the road.
Okay.
If you don't have any documents,
gotcha. Okay.
Then what you tell them is, I don't have any documents.
Okay.
But you tell them that.
I will.
Okay.
I'll take care of it. What's the date you wanted those by?
Well, I don't know. I can't watch your case for you.
Oh, well, and I was kind of hoping to get the insurance documents so I could have some documents to rely on
Don't send them. Now, listen to me. Don't get the insurance documents and then send them back as your disclosure, okay?
Oh, I can't do that? Whoa, okay.
Well, no, I mean, they want to know what do you have. They're going to have the insurance documents. But you're saying that you have some case that there's been fraud or whatever. I mean, you have to provide them with the information that you're relying on to make those allegations, okay?
Okay.
Would you like me to set this, Well, would you like to call me when you think it might be appropriate? I don't want to waste people's time. That's my feeling. So I will do whatever is helpful.
I think if I need to go through motion practice, we might as well not set it, and we'll contact you.
I mean, do you see a way to avoid motion practice? I would love for you to.
This was the way to avoid motion practice.
So, Mr. Bernstein, here's the deal. What could he get out of a settlement?
What could he get out of a settlement?
Yes.
It's really important for Your Honor to understand that I am representing Ted Bernstein as trustee of a trust that an executed copy cannot be found. There's two drafts that I've tendered to to Elliot Bernstein, both of which name the five adult children, of which Mr. Bernstein is one.
Yes.
So we are trying to recover on his behalf as well.
So what would happen here, Mr. Bernstein?
20% of the
20%. And how big is the money?
About 1.6, I think.
Okay. So there's $1 million. There's 1.6, 1.5, 1.6 million dollars sitting in the bank account in the federal court. Okay, waiting to be dispersed to you and your siblings.
But that's the wrong beneficiaries.
I did produce.
There's only three beneficiaries.
Mr. Bernstein.
Okay.
So what we could do here that would put this case to bed and allow you to go to Florida and go to New York, where you have a lot of other legal issues to deal with, but what could be done here is we could agree amongst ourselves as part of a settlement as to how that money would be dispersed.
Right.
Now, the trustee, who's your brother,
No, there's a trustee of nothing. There's no trustee. He's the trustee of a blank document. He's
Mr. Bernstein.
Okay, sorry.
Keep breathing. So, what their position is going to be, their position is going to be that we split the 1.5, or whatever the exact number is, 1.6, five ways. Which would be part for you, part for your brothers and sisters, okay? It's five of you, five of them, right? Not six of them, five of them.
Right.
Okay. That's going to be their initial position. Now, in settlement, people can move, okay? You can settle a case any way you want, as long as it's not illegal, okay? Involving criminal conduct. But you can settle it any way you want. So what the lawyer could do is come in here after we clear out the banks, who are probably not going to have any interest in the money, and we could negotiate back and forth about how that money should be split. And maybe in order to resolve this litigation, maybe, I can't speak for them because I'm the judge, not the lawyer, but maybe to resolve this litigation, they would say, well, okay, why doesn't Elliot get 25% instead of 20%, and we'll split the rest, you know, four ways. Okay, your other brothers and sisters, whatever, brothers, whatever they are. Okay? Or maybe they could say, hey, you know what, to get rid of this, let's get Elliot 29%, and the rest of us will split the remaining 71%. Okay? Do you see what I'm saying?
Got it.
That seems to me like it'd be a win for you because you would be done with this case and you could go and put your energies into Florida and with Judge Shinlin up in New York, and we can move on from this part of the battle, okay?
Okay, except you did say...
Something, but you would have to let go of all your claims here. Okay, we couldn't settle the case about the insurance money and clear out the money that's in the court's bank account, which, by the way, is not a place where I would want money. It's perfectly safe, but it's just sitting, and nobody, not you or any of your other family members, are able to access it. So it's just sitting. Okay, and I don't know what kind of interest it's getting, but I'm guessing people could do better, okay? So it would clear out that bank account and get that money into Bernstein hands, Okay, not all into your hands, but into your hands and your siblings' hands.
Okay, but that's through fraud. Meaning I believe that if you do that, we will be committing fraud on the beneficiaries of the estate. And I've made my point clear to the other side.
What I'm asking you, Mr. Bernstein, is people come in here with all kinds of allegations, believe you case I see. And what they do in the end is they say, you know, for this amount of cash transfer, for this amount of, basically, usually it's about money, sometimes it's a couple other things, for this amount of a payment, we're going to walk away from all our allegations. And you are free to do that at any time.
Yeah, but on the other hand, the beneficiaries of the estate could then turn around and sue me and say that I fraudulently took this money, which was due to them.
I would not be terribly worried about that.
I am.
The other beneficiaries of the estate are your siblings.
No, they're not. No, they're not. That's not true.
Your siblings would have to sign off on this. The trustee, such as he is, I know you dispute him being a trustee, but he would have to sign off on this. He would perhaps... We could craft some kind of indemnification that if you were ever sued by a beneficiary that's out there in the universe that we don't know about.
No, we know about these beneficiaries, and those beneficiaries are not...
beneficiaries that I'm unaware of?
Yes.
Hold on, Mr. Bernstein.
Your Honor, again, this is Adam Simon. Elliot Bernstein is understandably... confused because he's not represented by counsel. The life insurance policy, and this part I don't quite get because he was in the life insurance business for 20 years, but the life insurance policy and those proceeds are a non-estate asset. We're not here before you on the estate of Simon Bernstein. The beneficiaries of the estate of Simon Bernstein are not one and the same as to the beneficiaries of the life insurance policy.
Thank you very much for clarifying that.
But we don't know who the beneficiaries of the life insurance policy are, and in the event of a lost beneficiary...
How do we not know that?
Well, because they're part of a trust that they sent me the documents on plain paper with no signatures, no dates, alleging they're trustees. It's a joke. I mean, Mr. Simon is very confused as to who the beneficiaries of this trust he's representing are because he doesn't have a signed copy, Your Honor. He doesn't have even a dated copy. He's got nonsense written on plain paper.
Mr. Bernstein.
And he's been in the business for a whole long time.
Hold on. Judge, we can't talk at the same time.
Again, he's not represented by counsel, so he's not making correct legal arguments or assumptions. If, for some reason... the trust fails, and we're unable to prove a parole trust. The money passes by intestate succession
to the
same five children,
yeah.
20% each.
Yeah.
So he's just wrong. There is no fraud here.
There's no fraud.
Okay, so here's the deal, Mr. Bernstein. Here's my deal. It's a take it or leave it.
Okay.
Do you want to negotiate with me? And with your, I would have Mr. Simon here, and he would be in charge of all your siblings, the five of you. Do you want to try to negotiate a resolution regarding this $1.5 million, $1.6 million, so that you could all be paid out by the end of the year, and we could be done with this, and you could walk away from whatever kind of fraud allegations you have and your counterclaim? Do you want to negotiate that with me? Helping you. I'm not helping you, but I mean with me being the judge and trying to get it resolved, do you want to do that?
Sure. I'm always open to negotiating.
That's all I'm going to do. That's all I'm going to do. I'm not going to talk to you about fraud. I'm not going to hear about fraud. I don't want to hear about it.
Okay. Right.
I want to get this case resolved, and you would have to dismiss your counterclaims. I'm not saying you couldn't. You could do whatever you're doing in Florida. You could do whatever you're doing in New York. But for this $1.5 million, we would come to an agreement, and that would not mean that you would get all of it, nor would you get 80% of it, nor would you get 60% of it, nor would you probably get 50% of it. So you'd have to be willing to negotiate. But you could certainly probably do better than 20%. In order to get this case resolved. That's all I can do for you. And I'm happy to try to do it. And I'm also otherwise busy, and I'm happy to do other things and not spend time on this case. but I would be happy to try to resolve this $1.6 million. They're not going to pay you other money. They're not going to say, well, okay, if you dismiss your counterclaim, we'll give you another $1 million. I mean, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be over the $1.6 million, which is currently sitting in the Northern District of Illinois' bank account, probably invested in T-bonds. So do you want to try to resolve that, and then we can get this money dispersed, and you can do whatever you want with your portion of it, and obviously your siblings would get their portion of it, and that would be the end of this case. I understand you have lots of other challenges regarding the estate and regarding your siblings' conduct or whatever, but this would be very narrow, and I'm happy to give you the time to try to do it, but you'd have to be reasonable with me.
Well, I you know, part of the problem that I've alleged and that I see going forward with that settlement is that, you know, I made it clear that Adam Simon is conflicted in his representation because he works for the Simon Law Firm, which is owned by he and his brother, who's married to my sister, Pam, who stands to benefit from the policy.
Hold on, Mr. Bernstein.
Judge St. Eve.
Was I being interrupted?
Judge St. Eve.
Hold on.
He raised this issue with Judge St. Eve. She said, bring a motion. He's again raising it with you, just orally, no notice.
So you have to file a motion.
I did. I did. It's in my motion that I filed my answer and motion, my cross claim. So he can answer when he answers that.
Listen to me, though. You've got to get into the settlement mindset.
Well, you know what?
If you want to work with me, because otherwise you're with St. Eve. But I'm here to say, I don't care what claims anybody has at a settlement. They can resolve anything they want for a price. Okay? And so you could say, I don't like him as a brother-in-law, but you would have to say, I'm done disputing whether he has a conflict. I'm done disputing whether he should have married my sister.
I'm not his brother-in-law.
Okay, so you're not his brother-in-law. But, you know, what I'm saying here is,
you
let go of all of that. You say, I'm going to be satisfied resolving this dispute for X number, for $200,000.
Okay.
People do it every day.
I'll consider
every courtroom.
Yeah, and I'll consider it. But okay, I've got issues, and I want to see all the documents before I make any decisions.
Okay, but I'm not. So I'm going to. Would you like to then pursue this with me, given this exchange, or do you think you would be better served to do your motion practice? I am totally not going to be offended either way.
Oh, I'd go with the motion.
Okay, well, it's not your decision. You filed the counterclaim. They can either engage in a motion practice, or they can hang in here with me and try to settle it. Okay, that's up to them. They're in the driver's seat on this particular issue, because you served them with a big old fat counterclaim. So they have a right to fight that, or they have a right to say to me, Judge, we want to try to resolve it.
Well, I'm going to choose both, actually.
Okay. The curtain and the box.
Right.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Mr. Bernstein, okay? Hang in there with me, okay?
Okay.
You're going to get these documents. They have, how many days do you have left? 30 days probably, or 40 days or something to respond?
Is it Rule 26?
No, to his counterclaim.
We have a little over 30.
Okay. So they have some time to respond to your counterclaim. The insurance company is going to do what it does. I'm going to have you back here, okay? And when you come back here, I'm going to want to talk about numbers, okay?
Okay.
There is $1.5 million. I'm going to want somebody to have an exact number for me.
We have.
Okay. So then it's gaining some interest, I assume.
I've only got the receipt from the deposit.
Okay.
I'd have to go back and look.
Okay. So it may or may not be getting interest. So I guess what I would like to say is, let's keep our eye on the ball that this money is sitting in a pot and that it would be beneficial to everybody to get this money dispersed, okay? And you can file your other claims and pursue them elsewhere. But to get this claim resolved, and this is only over the $1.5 million, what the opposing party is going to take the position that you should get 20% of that, okay? They're going to hold pretty firm to that position. So I want you to look at these documents, Mr. Bernstein, and be ready to talk to me the next time we meet. What percentage of that $1.5 million would put you in a position where you could walk away from the allegations that you're making in this case?
Zero.
Okay?
0%, just so you know. Meaning
you
I'm not,
zero.
I think if I take the money, I would be the wrong, I think I, if he would stop cutting me off, it's so rude. I think that me taking the money when I know that I'm the wrong beneficiary isn't right. And I would feel uncomfortable committing fraud in that way. So I got a feeling it's going to have to go into the, you know, court and not really settle to these parties. And I don't think Adam Simon should be representing as my emotional play out. Okay. Sorry.
So, you don't have to apologize to me. I'm here every day whether I work with you or not. So,
okay.
But I'm not going to give up. Okay? I'm not going to give up.
All right, good.
So I'm going to set this for a status, and you'll be the last on my call again. And what do you think makes sense so you can get some of this housekeeping, you get your housekeeping done, and you... He has a chance, you start your motion practice, and he has a chance to look at these documents. So do you want to come in on, the 19th of November? That's you know, that's a month, or do you think we should kick it till after Thanksgiving? Give people time to...
Just after Thanksgiving.
Kick it, okay. So I'm going to have you in here on Tuesday, the 3rd of December at 10 o'clock. So that way you're not sitting through my call. And Mr. Bernstein, you're going to be here by phone, right?
Yep.
Okay.
You're going to call me again, correct?
We'll call you the same phone number?
Correct.
Okay, so we will call you just like we did today. And I am going to ask you, please, to let me know if there is a number by which you could sign off on the disbursement of these funds. And if you truly want $0, is that something we can do? Could he sign a settlement agreement?
No, I'm saying that the people that are trying to take this money are not the proper people to receive the benefits. And I being one of them too. There are named beneficiaries according to them of the estate, and I just don't think we can settle. I personally don't see any point in settling till we resolve those issues of who the proper beneficiaries are.
But you know, this is only about the life insurance policy.
But who the beneficiaries of the life insurance policy are is a complete joke. Meaning, you know, they're saying it's based on some trust that's unsigned. Well, you know, let's look at it. You know, I'm not just going to go and say they have some trust that's unsigned, undated, nobody's got, you know, it's on blank paper, not by the law firm Hopkins and Sutter, who did the work. It's got no bearing of, you know, any sanity on it. And I've been in the estate practice for a long time, seen some mighty fine estates, and everybody I've showed this to, leading estate planners, have laughed. And so I don't want to be a part of that fraud, and I don't want to be a part of receiving money that I think is going to the wrong beneficiaries. And he's trying to escape. You know, if you look at this,
so
Judge Rowland, if you look at
Mr.
this.
Bernstein,
yes.
Mr. Bernstein, do you have any objection then to the court paying out the 80% to 20% to each of your siblings?
Yes, absolutely. I think they're the wrong people. I think
Does
they're making.
Standing to object to them?
I think they do not have. They're not the beneficiaries, period.
Okay, hold on.
Your Honor, this goes back to the fact that he's unrepresented.
It's nothing to do with that.
If he showed this to estate planning counsel, he didn't give them the full story. What I said to you before is this is a very easy case. Even if the parole trust that we're going to prove up, which is named as a beneficiary, so it's not something that we just dreamed up. It was named by his father as the beneficiary of the policy. When we show that that is the proper beneficiary of the policy and who the beneficiaries of that trust are, those are the five adult children of Simon and Shirley Bernstein. If that trust were to fail, the proceeds do not, despite what Mr. Elliot Bernstein...
But he has no copy of the trust, Your Honor.
They do not pass through the estate of Simon Bernstein. They pass by virtue of intestate succession. The laws of which in the state of Illinois and Florida are identical, 20% to each surviving adult child.
So don't you just need a ruling from St. Eve on that?
Yes. That's really what I need.
I mean...
Yep. I understand. That's why motion practice... I got a strike and summary judgment. I got to go through the motions, as they say.
As they say. I mean, I would be happy to try to reasonably get this done, and I would force you to kick in more than 20% and all that, but I don't think that's going anywhere.
Neither do I.
All right. So, Mr. Bernstein, I wish you luck.
Great.
I'm not going to have you back. If you decide if there's at any point you think coming in here would be helpful, I would be more than happy to spend some time. And I would encourage you to do that because it's much quicker. I think you probably need a ruling from Judge St. Eve as to how this money is going to be dispersed, and then you don't have to worry about you engaging in any kind of fraud because you
Correct.
Won't have a federal judge.
Very good.
Who will have said, this is how it's going to be paid out, and it will be paid out. Okay?
Perfect.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Call me if I can help. Sorry you couldn't get it done.
Thank you, Judge Rellum.
Take care.